right? So we'll spend most of our time talking about what's right. I think I'm getting this thing worked out so I can be able to see how this is working. It's coming. We're getting there. About 10 years, I'll be able to know what I'm doing here. Now, I know that I've already sensed it in the air, because I even talked with somebody on the phone. Nobody really cares what I have to say about Nemo. I can tell that. And, you know, whatever. But I was looking at what I'd written about it, finally put it on the internet. I do want to add a couple more things and change it and all that, but basically that's where we're at with that stuff. So I'd encourage you to read that thing. And even if you're not into the movie, you can borrow it. Everybody's got it, you know. And I understand the whole thing. I'm getting to understand what's going on here. Take your Bibles. What sermon are we going to do here this morning? Do all three of them, okay. Let's look at something here for a minute here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Did you guys need to take some water home with you today? No? Okay. Food? You have food there? Do you want to take home a four-wheeler? Oh, and Tyler scraped the driveway and the parking lot and the road and everything out there so y'all can come and all that kind of stuff, so... And brother, he got awfully close to your car, but I wasn't. I got out there, and he's just very skilled with that thing. He just stopped right before he clipped the mirror. But because everything is so frozen, the mirror didn't come off, so it's not a problem. Making us old me of little faith, you know. 1 Corinthians. Now. There's a huge deception floating around. Like I was saying, maybe I'll just find the one particular slide. That's what I'll do. I'll just put the big one up there. And we'll go from there. That's not the one I wanted. I think it's this one. No, that's not the one. I think it's this one. That's the one. And you don't need to really see this. It's just there for whatever. I just can't slap it all in one shot. I got to walk through the process here. There's a huge amount of deception flowing through Christianity right now. And if we were to, by any chance, get a hold of this page right here and really get a hold of this thing as a Christian, we wouldn't be deceived. But you're going to be talking with people that are deceived. Couple more. Now, some of you haven't even seen this at all, right? Because you haven't been here for a while. Who has not seen this at all? Okay. We'll go through it someday. First Corinthians 15:33. Do I need this thing or not? I don't need this thing. That helps a little bit. This focus as good as it can be. And it says this, 1 Corinthians 15:33. There we go. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Simple little verse and all that stuff. And probably my biggest complaints about Nemo, or any movie for that matter, is that there's evil communications in that movie, and it's going to corrupt the manners of your children. And I mentioned that to somebody yesterday, and they said, no, oh, come on, some of those things, yeah, there were a couple things I didn't like and for my kids and all that sort of thing. But it really, you know, the word evil communications must be really wicked. Not necessarily. Evil can be very subtle, and it's still evil. So we look at that verse, and then keep your finger in that verse and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. To keep your finger in that one in the 15 there. We going? You'll see in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, where it says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Well, okay, then you probably, if you were to read that, how many have not seen the movie? I mean, I guess I don't want to, that doesn't matter. If you have seen that movie and you're thinking to yourself that, or maybe you haven't even seen the movie, but you've watched television or you've seen some things, and it's not outwardly wicked. But for that category to be evil, doesn't have to be, it can just be a little bitty evil. Well, we look at this verse and we see, you know, it doesn't take but just a little bit of things over time, and the whole thing's destroyed. So we have to have enough faith in our book that when it says something really is evil, even though it's itchy bit, somewhere we need to draw the line. We all are going to draw a line somewhere. It just might be that when we finally draw the line, our kids are gone. Grandpas and grandmas, that's one of those things. So when we see that little bit of evil is adding up over the years, we have to keep your finger, if you can, and go to 1 Timothy. Try to keep track of these little verses, which I'm going to go back and show you something that God showed me this morning, the Lord showed me, which is quite interesting. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I should hand out little bookmarks, I guess. 1 Timothy chapter 4, chapter 4, verse 2. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, then if we put 1 plus 1 plus 1, we know it equals 3, because we know the fact that there's a little bit of evil communication messing with the manners. And manners can be preach anything you want about manners, but it's corrupting the manners. And we know that a little bit of it at a time is going to destroy the whole thing eventually. And we know that one of the things that's going wrong with Christians today, or people today, is our conscience is seared. Conscience is whether something's good or bad. So it seems to me that we have come to a point in our life that over the years we are just that much more seared today than we were last year, and the year before, and the year before. And somewhere in all of our visual lives, or things that we've heard or learned or seen or been taught, there's been evil in there little bits at a time, and look what it's done to us. Well, what do you mean what it's done to us? We're doing fine. Really? Laodicean church age? How's your Bible reading coming? When's the last time you said no to something you wanted? I mean, we're not all the greatest Christians in the world. We're living in a wicked day and age where we don't even think that some of the stuff that we do is wrong. And when the preacher preaches that it is, either you don't believe it or you get angry. Or you just kind of discard the whole thing. So we see a process going here. Well, if we go to John chapter 7, if you can, keep your finger in all these places. We'll just go back to them in a minute anyway. They're not hard to find. John chapter 7, we see another little level of applying this thing here. John chapter 7, verse 24. Where we are told by people who get caught up in this gospel stuff and all these things, that we are told, judge not according to the appearance. And that, we're not even supposed to watch that sort of thing. Judge not according to the appearance. Well, these movies look really pretty good. Now, I'm just going to pick on Nemo. Don't anybody get mad at me because I borrowed it or talked to you about it. You got kids or whatever you see and you like the whole thing. And this little critter right here, I mean, the movie was well done. It was really very neat as far as underwater life. I mean, that was really neat. You know? But it's Disney. But don't judge the thing just because it's by Disney. I've seen it, and there's very little wrong in that movie. Okay, let's go through this process. Very little wrong means leaven. Over time, it's going to sear your little kid's conscience. It's going to corrupt their good manners. And who are you, Dad, just like Marlon, the dad? Judging by the outward appearance thing. So don't be judging this movie just because it's by Disney or because of some of these other things that you see. Because that, you know, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Oh, so maybe there's more to it than that. Yeah, maybe there is. And then let's finish this up and go to 1 Thessalonians. And this wasn't anywhere in the sermon. Maybe this is why nothing else was clicking this morning here. 1 Thessalonians. And there's I'm not just crabbing about a movie, so get over that part of it. Listen closer this morning and see if God can work on you a little bit. And this is a quick one. If I 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says to abstain from all appearance of evil. And for years I used to think, boy, I need to not dress like I look like I'm evil. I need not dress like the world. Because the world is evil, etc., etc. So I don't need to do the styles and the fads and all that stuff. And I don't need to dress like I'm wicked and all that kind of stuff. So don't wear all black and all this kind of stuff, you know, and the wicked look and all that. And then some guy preached a while ago that, you know, the appearance doesn't just mean how you look. Is it there? Don't go to where evil appears. That's pretty good application. Well, yeah, but preacher guy, if I don't go where evil appears, I can't go anywhere. And Jesus doesn't want us to do that. In John chapter 17, we got to go out in the world. But, you know, well, that's true. But, you know, when you can control the situation, we ought to control it. So I was looking at all these verses, and those are pretty much my complaints about Nemo. And you can read about it. There's some things in there that you would probably spank your child if they said some of the things they said. And maybe not. I guess the concern I had about Nemo, as I said, if you read that thing, I said, it isn't because it's something that's coming. I think what disturbs me is the fact that that probably represents, that portrays our homes already. That we're laughing at the stuff we're laughing at, some of the slang and lingo and all that stuff. And you can read the details if you want in there. And that's just another one of those picky things, you know, that pastors are famous for. But I noticed something. In most of those verses, God gets us for our thinking. Because most of the people's reaction when I say stuff like this is, oh, come on, isn't that bad? I mean, it's not like we're going to an X-rated movie or something. It's not like they didn't even use God's name in vain that I know of. They used the word gosh. I don't think there's any other kind of swearing or anything like that. So it must have just been some kind of lower level language. And that doesn't bother a whole lot of people nowadays because most of the language in people's homes is kind of losing its level of morality and level of cleanliness. Some of our jokes are a little bit more off color, or some of our things that we say are a little more off color nowadays than they were 10 years ago. They just are. That's just part of the searing and part of the leavening doing its job. The high ranking of morality in America is because of Christianity. The high ranking of any kind of moral standard in this world is because of Christianity. If it wasn't for Christianity, people would still be wearing little grass skirts and nothing else. They'd still be doing what they do in Europe now, just doing their thing in the streets. I mean, Christianity is the reason the world's been cleaned up. We have to remember that. It isn't that the world is, civilization is all civilized because they just finally woke up. No, the Lord did that. Christianity influence in the world is why we have what we have in this country. We just have to realize that in the last 10, 15, 20, 30, maybe 100 years, it's going back down. And because we've been part of that process, we don't even know that is happening. A little bit we do. Homeschoolers have a pretty good idea something's not right. I used to enjoy teaching history. Now I don't want to because it disturbs me. It saddens me. Our kids need to know what our country used to be. That's sad. But, you know, for what it's worth, our kids are gone anyway, so whatever. But there's something that's happening to us. And when I put out a little PR thing like this, or a little two-cent thing like this, the reactions I get are not, I never saw that. Man, thanks. I just never saw that. Oh, honey, our conscience is being seared, and we what did we do this for? Why did we do such a thing? And then you don't do that stuff anymore. You know, movies or whatever. Well, let me show you something. I saw this morning. Because I'm going to whine about this thing. People are going to do what people are going to do. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15:33, where your finger's probably white now from no blood holding that spot. Let me show you something. So don't already spit me out and already dis, I guess that's the word, dis what I just told you. This is not a prepared practice sermon. This is just something. This isn't even a sermon, although it may have to be by the time I'm done with this thing. 1 Corinthians 15:33, we know the crux of that verse was where it says, evil communications corrupt good manners. Right? We know that verse, and we probably, some of you that have seen it probably don't even see why I would say that's in the movie, but you can read it and you'll see the stuff in there. But look at the first three words in that verse. That really stuck out to me this morning. Be not deceived. He doesn't just tell you about the little sermon there. He doesn't just say, by the way, evil communications corrupt good manners. He tells you, be not deceived. Then he tells you, evil corrupt communications corrupt good manners. So it must be that this is a very deceivable spot. Don't be deceived. Don't be tricked. Don't fall for what Disney's putting out. Don't fall for what people are putting out. And I'll show you where this is going. It's far more dangerous than you can imagine. Oh, my little kid, my girl, my daughter, my grandkids, all this kind of stuff, you know. Hey, my kids watched it in the hospital. They didn't show it to their kid, but they wanted to see it because that's all they had in the hospital. So whatever. Justify it any way you want. It can be justified. But I want you to see, he says what? Don't be deceived. Don't be tricked. Okay, that's an interesting thing how we started that verse off as something we kind of skip. Let's look at the next one. 1 Corinthians 5:6. Let me show you that one. This is the obvious one. We all know that a little leaven will leaveneth the whole lump. Isn't that how we know that verse? I mean, that's kind of how we know it to ourselves. But look at what it starts off with. Your glorying is not good. Then he says, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Let's talk about all the good things of these movies. Let's talk about all the good things of whatever it is that's out there that we know. Yeah, but there's a little stuff wrong in there. Yeah, but let's talk about the good stuff. No, before he tells us that little bad stuff's going to cause damage, he says, by the way, you're glorying and it's not good. He says, what you're talking about beforehand is not good. Don't you know that the little bad stuff's going to wreck it? He doesn't just tell us that the little stuff's going to wreck it. He says your glorying is not good. He doesn't just tell us that evil communication is going to mess up your kids. He says, don't be deceived. Let's go to the next one. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. See, God knows us. He knows our justifying things. He knows how we can be duped. 1 Timothy 4:2, we know that one. It talks about having a seared conscience. We know that that's happening. You almost can't help it. You stay in your book. You stay in your book. But you're just going to, the world's going to chip away at you. But he starts off with speaking lies in hypocrisy. And it's not a period, it's a semicolon. In other words, the next part of that verse still has a little bit to do with the first part because it says, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So because their conscience is seared with a hot iron, they speak lies and hypocrisy. You know, I think that's probably the biggest reason our kids are flying the coop is because of the hypocrisy. I mean, something's happening. I just know too many teens that are just taken off. And they can justify it any way. None of us parents are perfect. They can blame us if they want. That's not my point. But if we're being seared, we have to notice the first part of that verse, speaking lies in hypocrisy. I wonder what lies and hypocrisy are in this thing that causes us to be seared. In other words, there must be some stuff in that movie or in those movies or books or just like picking on the movie, I guess. There must be some things out there that we're seeing that we really think is good, but in a hypocritical fashion, they're actually wrong because they're searing our conscience. But they look good. That's hypocrisy, right? Something looks good, but it's bad. And we talk about the goodness of it, but really it's bad. So don't be deceived. Don't brag about the good stuff. The bad stuff's going to get you. Don't be deceived. That stuff's going to corrupt your children. Don't get caught up in this. Don't forget that there's lies in hypocrisy. It may look good, but really it's bad. We can't forget that. This is scriptures. We're Bible believers. Amen? We're trying to be, we're trying to be realizing that this portion of the fact that we're part of the body of Christ and then this local assembly is very important. We're trying to get a balance between these things. There's a third column that should be up here, and that'd be called the world. How much of this kind of stuff are we getting from the world? You know, I don't know. I mean, we have to go out there. Let's look at another one here. No, it's not. Those are the three that I wanted you to just see. So, did you get that this morning? It's pretty easy to be duped with something that looks pretty neat. You know? I mean, one of the best ways to take medicine, if you hate taking medicine, is to slip it in a cereal or something. You know, I mean, that's just a way to sneak a pill into your kid or your dog. I mean, I can't give dogs because I don't have to anymore. trying to give a dog a pill? Are you kidding? You break it up, you sprinkle it in their little food, and it tastes great. You don't even know it's in there, and it works on them. It'd be just the same with evil. I could poison the dog, too. Could have saved $20. Sprinkle it in her food, and she just kind of, and she'd have been gone. That's the same thing can happen to us. So the devil's out there. He's sprinkling in the world in our food, and it's corrupting our little children. It's hypocritical because it looks good, but it's really bad. And it's doing it little bit at a time. And like I said, somewhere you're going to draw the line. Somewhere you're going to finally draw the line. But will it be too late or whatever? Now, here's why this is such a big deal this morning, though. I mean, you know, the movie is the movie, and it's Nemo. He's a cute little guy. And you can read in my little sermon back there what it is I thought was more dangerous than anything in that movie. It wasn't even the obvious stuff. There's more Nemo stuff. There's a copy there if anybody wants it. Get rid of this stuff here. What's the problem here? Well, the problem is, it's this thing called The Passion of Christ. It's the movie that Mel Gibson's putting out. It comes out February 25th. And I got this in the mail, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. Didn't even think about it. Just threw my little pile of junk. And then last night, I was just kind of going through my pile of junk, you know. And I found this thing, and it had a CD, a little excerpt of the movie. Oh. So I read through this booklet, and I thought, boy, this is... Now, you probably even heard this thing advertised. Mel Gibson's going through all sorts of grief for this movie because it's so religious and all this kind of stuff, and Hollywood's all upset. And, you know, it's about the Passion of the Christ. How many have heard about it? Just heard of it, at least mentioned anyway in the news or whatever. It's a big deal. What's a really... I thought it was just something that Hollywood did with Mel Gibson. It's a Catholic-supporting thing. I figured that's about it. Just like Left Behind and all that stuff. But I mean, I'll tell you right now, there is a huge onslaught or whatever through churches to get involved in this thing. This whole catalog right here is stuff you can buy. So when the movie comes out, we're just all living the life of this movie. It's like the toy junk you can get, you know, when something comes out, they flood the market with garbage. Well, the church market's being flooded with this stuff. It is, I mean, man, I'll tell you, the stuff that you can get to support the Passion, it's amazing. We could spend big bucks, and we could do a thing in the community, come to Touche Baptist Church, and let's talk about the Passion of the Christ. And I'm thinking of doing that. I just think people would be shocked. They probably wouldn't even stay for the whole meeting, but maybe they would. I don't know. My point is this. We are willing to do all this kind of stuff, knowing that there's some problems with that thing, but still, it's still cute, and it's just there. It's just like we do those things today. We don't draw the lines anymore. And then everything comes along in the movie. And I know there's people that don't believe this stuff. This is very Catholic. I'll tell you some things about it. But I wonder how many are going to go see it anyway. I just wonder, you know. I'm interested. I got the liberty to go to that movie, amen? Except what? Two things. It's probably not expedient. What am I going to get out of this thing? Well, I might learn some preaching stuff. That's okay. You know. I guess I need to know what the dump tastes like, so I'm going to go out there. I left some of the shrimp go bad. I'm sorry. The stuff is expensive, you know. And it was overnight in the kitchen a couple days ago. Not a whole lot of it, enough to disturb me, because I love shrimp. And I thought, well, man, the kitchen was cold. It probably was all right, you know. But I didn't have the guts to taste it to see, because shrimp bad can really, I guess, make you pretty sick. I wasn't into that. I've been sick enough, all that kind of stuff. So I knew better to not taste it. I just wonder if people have been seared by now that the movies Christians attend probably has a little bit of evil in there, but it's all right. But he does say to what? Be not deceived. There might be some stuff in there that would cause people a little bit of leaven that leaveneth the whole lump. But he says not to glorify. What are you doing glorifying? That's not good. Let's talk about the good stuff of this movie. I mean, you're going to go there. If you go to this thing, you watch Jesus get pounded up on the cross, and the little part they saw here is very well done. So that's all we're going to talk about, and it'll get you to think that Jesus did this for me, and I love the Lord for all this kind of stuff, and that's all you get out of that, because that's what we could get out of that stuff. But I watched the whole little freebie thing, and then I watched an interview with Mel Gibson, and then I watched an interview where they talked to the guy that portrayed Christ in the movie, and I saw some horrible things. Just like, as cute as it is, there's some things in there that you don't want your little kids to get. And it's evil. That's a cute little guy. Yeah. There's some things that he could get your kids to be thinking. And if I was really mean here, I'd take a hammer and right in front of your kids. Ha ha! He just crushed Nemo, Mama. You know? But that's all we can get. Oh! He just beat up the Passion. Now, I've seen the Passion in Spearfish, South Dakota, and it was not biblically correct. It was not biblically correct, and yet it's a big hit. You've got one in Arkansas, and it's not biblically correct. Where do we draw the line for this stuff? Let me mention some things here to you, and you tell me if you think this is a big deal or not. These are just some comments I jotted down here. First of all, Mel Gibson said that he was so concerned about the attack that he was doing to make this movie that he had a priest come in and they did the mass every morning before they filmed the stuff for that day. Well, that's really a blessing from God. As they say today, not. Right? That thing was blessed by the devil. That mass would bless that thing every day. Okay, well, whatever. That's how they made the movie. Well, hey, that's a big deal, right? Come, play along here. Lie to me if you have to. Yeah, it's a big deal, okay? Well, the guys that made this movie, and it's in the section in the back part of the DVD, we can watch how they did the movie and all that kind of stuff. There's a staff party that they showed, and they're all cross-dressed and queered and lesbianated and the whole thing. Why is that any different than doing the mass before they filmed this day's worth of stuff? But then Hollywood, yeah, but Hollywood's been like that for years. That's right. It has been, you know. Tim LaHaye doing the rapture and tribulation and stuff. Oh, but it's about... No, it's a lie. You know, I've never seen that one. You know, I went to Lion King, so I had to be able to answer some stuff to some... We went to that Egypt thing, or Prince of Egypt, and I couldn't believe how bad that was over the truth of the Moses and, you know. And then he just watched the great Ten Commandments with Charlton, you know, Heston. And there's this kind of this relationship between him and some lady. I don't remember that being, you know. it's just little things. Just little things. And Mel Gibson said he wanted this. He tried his best to stay squeaky clean while he was a director of this movie. Well, see, this is a very Catholic movie. And what they're portraying here is the Passion of Christ. There's a clue in that title. There's a serious clue in that title that nobody would get except probably us. The title is Passion of the Christ. The Christ. Now I know that there's a couple places in the Bible where it talks about the Christ, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot more other places that the Christ is not talking about Jesus Christ. That's talking about the devil. So, you know, whatever. Now, Bach. Johann Sebastian Bach, he wrote a thing called St. Matthew's Passion. And Bach is even one of the good guys, supposedly, of the music era back in the classical Baroque era. And so I listened to that thing one day, the whole thing. Man, it was impressive. And then it was done. It was over. So wait a minute. Johann, you left out the best part. That when he dies and he's on the cross, that's when that thing stops. That's Lutheran. But I was a kid. We had the cross up in the top behind the church. Do you have a cross in your church? Our church, Jesus was still on it. Well, that's why I wanted you to get that tract out. We're to live the risen life. Now we need to have a crucified life over the things that we can't do and shouldn't do. Beat up the flesh and say no to stuff. Isn't that why you said you like the street work, public ministry, because it makes your flesh uncomfortable? Okay, so we're willing to live that crucified life. You know what this movie, you know all this movie's about? It's his crucifixion. That's all it's about. There is no... It's not there. It's not there. Well, of course the Catholics are that way. If I took the time for pictures and junk, I could show you when I went to this Catholic monastery or whatever up in Canada, where our Baptist bus broke down right in their front door for hours. The brakes locked up, and it was on a holiday in Canada. No stores were open, and we're sitting there with a bunch of junior high kids, of which every one of them should have been shot by the time we got home. One of them, I did slam his head against the bus window and told him to sit down and be quiet. Long story to that one. But we went into this place, and there was this huge number of steps up this hill to this monastery. Or not a shrine, not monastery, a shrine, big shrine. Inside this shrine, they had this one priest's heart. And they're all climbing up on their knees to go up to these steps. They have their suffering. There is a huge desire for modern people today to think that they need to suffer with the Lord. It's like when you do something wrong and you're suffering for it, you feel better because you suffered. And they're missing something, you know. I mean, if all Bill wants to do the public ministry for is to suffer and beat up the flesh, he's going to be a beat up Christian. There's another step beyond that, and that's being risen past that and getting the joys and just the joy living past the crucifixion. That's the risen life that Paul tells us to live. This movie is based on the Gospels. Where are we at with that? That's Old Testament stuff. This is actually an Old Testament movie being portrayed here. They're leaving out the new part. This guy said that. What was that movie with the guy with that rotten jerk son of the Roman guy, not centurion but gladiator? Yeah, remember that? In that music, the lady gone. Rah, rah. Remember all that stuff? The music background for that thing is real spooky and weird. How many remember? Know what I'm talking about a little bit? This is all the music in this thing right here. It sounded just like the Gladiator. And there was something spooky about that music in Gladiator. Spooky. Yeah. Mel Gibson hoped that this thing changes lives. It will. It'll change a person's life because they're going to watch this Jesus, the Christ, they're going to watch this Jesus get crucified and beat up and tortured, and the music is just, the little bit here was just theater shaking. You know it's going to just be an experience. That's the word that they call it. This will be an experience. This experience, said that a million times in here and there, this experience will change their lives, but you know what it won't change? Their souls. It won't change their souls. This movie will impact everybody that sees it. The potential for this message to get around, message. See, this thing up here, we, the Bible, the Lord offers what? Words. The church has a tendency to offer a message. We want to have a church that offers the words. But almost any church out there, the only issue they have is the message of Christ. And it is not the message that separates your flesh from your soul. It is not the message that saves a person. It is not a message that convicts and convinces us. It is not the message that's going to get you to change about movies and Nemo and stuff for your kids. It's the Word of God that's going to change. The Holy Spirit, in this column right here, this is all the works of the Holy Spirit. Those all have to do with words. This is not the message from the Holy Spirit. So, you see the problem there. They said we need to bring people to a neutral ground and then give them the message. Now, I can understand how you want to talk to somebody, get them willing to talk to you on a neutral ground. This movie is not a neutral ground. Not in the slightest. Neutral ground, you have them over for dinner. And you just get to talking. God can provide the situation where we witness to people. This is not a neutral ground. Not in the slightest. Here's another clue. Whole bunch of good comments here by Ted Haggard, president of the National Association of Evangelicals. Okay, you probably don't know him. Pat Robertson. Okay. Greg Laurie, Harvest Crusades. Billy Graham. Jack Hayford, that's Promise Keeper stuff. Cardinal Castellan Hoyas from the Vatican. Jack Graham, President Southern Baptist Convention. Donald Hodel, President of Focus on the Family. This can't be true. And if there is truth in this thing, it's going to be filtered with some garbage, just like this is fine and true, but there's garbage in there. But we have been established to where we don't really draw the line so tight. So people, and I'm not talking about us so much, but you've got friends and family that's probably going to think this is the greatest thing in the world. Since all these stupid movies about the life of Jesus, you know, and all that stuff, they make it on television. And because this is being pushed so much, they call this the best outreach opportunity in 2,000 years. And all they're doing is portraying a movie about the Christ. And I would show this to you, because the sound stinks. You can't experience it. Now, that makes me think of John chapter 24, I think it is. Turn there, please. John chapter 24. No, it's not John. It's 21, it's 22, it's 20, it's 20. John chapter 20, that's what it is. And it starts at 24. We don't need this thing this morning. Wasting bulb. Let's see here. We do... I still got to think, Lyle. What I'm seeing with this stuff on Alpha, which is a huge hit in churches everywhere, Baptist church, and you know Faith is doing it now, you need to be armed. You really need to look at this thing and be able to talk to some people about this stuff. I suppose maybe the biggest problem we as Christians have is we probably don't care anymore that people are being deceived and lied to. I guess that doesn't bother us. We're happy in our own little church, our own little homes and stuff, and we just must not want to fight. Because you know you bring it up, it's going to be a fight. But it isn't you fighting. It's them wanting to fight, and how do you turn away an angry person? With a soft answer. We don't need to get upset. Just need to present the truth. And it even says in Thessalonians and Timothy, just sit at the table of the Bible and just be nice about it. I remember I preached a long time ago, I don't want to be nice, you know. And you got to define. I'm starting to sound like Bill Clinton. Now, what do you mean by nice? You know, meek and all that sort of thing. John, this is where it's all at. In John chapter 20, then there's somewhere, but Thomas, one of the 12, the other seven. Yeah, there we go. 29. Thomas is talking. Thomas doesn't believe that's the Lord. He has to what? He has to see. And the Lord says, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. You know? Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. So what's the Christ, the devil trying to get people to do through all these churches and through all these denominations and Catholics and Baptists, all this whole ecumenical thing is coming down to this thing right here. They are trying to get people to believe by seeing. And the word that they use is experience it. Go to this movie and experience the passion. Experience his crucifixion. And you yourself will... I don't want to experience his crucifixion. I want to just know what he did for me, and I believe what he said he did, and the Bible says what he did, and I've learned all that other stuff, and it's just marvelous. I don't want to experience that stuff. I mean, I've experienced the joy of knowing His grace. I've experienced His grace. How can you experience His grace? I am still alive. That's called experiencing His grace. I should have been dead by now. You know, no doubt about it. And I should have gone slowly, like He did for me. But that isn't going to get me saved. I believe by faith. I believe this book. See, you see what this thing's leading us to? The stupid little fish, and some cute little cubby lion, and what else have I seen in my life? Just all that stuff is leading us up to where this is where people are going to experience God. And they're willing. And they're game. And I suppose by now, we're all probably sitting there thinking, man, I'm not going to get duped by this thing, but I think I need to go see this. And then you're going to have some of your friends go, have you been to the Passion? Well, yeah, I have, matter of fact. You lost them right there. You can warn them, you can tell them about all this stuff without having to go see this movie. If I'd have had any smarts or knowledge or whatever about what's going on about all those evil communication stuff, I could have written that warning thing without even having to see this movie. Stupid. You know. You really don't have to learn all about this Alpha program if you just know how to rightly divide your scriptures and talk about where Acts fits into this whole thing and the Gospels and all that. You see it? Am I able to get this across at all, what's going on? This is serious stuff. We don't just have a nice little country of free Americans that go and worship where they want. They are actually truly being devoured by the devil. They're truly getting chewed up and swallowed. Because what is he taking away? What is he taking away lest they be saved when they watch something like this? The Word. That Word saves them. The message doesn't. This movie, I bet you, doesn't lead anybody to salvation. It'll lead them to a Lord. Not the Lord, it'll lead them to a Lord. The Passion of the Christ is a feature-length Hollywood movie capturing the last 12 hours of the life of Jesus of Nazareth. In brief, the film is a visual meditation on the wounds of Christ. So if you think you need to kind of experience the suffering, this is the place to go. It is a vivid portrayal of His trial. It's rated R. And one of the questions, how could you write a movie and how can it be rated R? Well, it's that violent and that's rough. So kids under 12 years old shouldn't go see this thing, they're saying. Well, you know, child abuse. Now, I understand that the truth of what Jesus Christ did for us is really quite bloody, quite violent. And that's why they called it bloody religion, and someday it's going to be outlawed because of that. It's abusive that your kid learned this story about this Jesus that bled and died and crucified and beaten, battered, and spit upon, blah, 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 blah. You can't teach that to your children. It'll scare them to death. Let's take them to Nemo, where they're sitting in this quiet little scene, and all of a sudden, row, comes this thing, and it just scared me to death, you know. I can't imagine being a little kid in the big theater. The movie, filmed in Aramaic, Latin, and Hebrew, artfully intertwines flashbacks to earlier episodes in Jesus' life, Old Testament. This thing will be full of Old Testament teachings. Now here's that statement. Have you told this to anybody yet? We don't follow Jesus, we follow Paul. Have you told that to anybody yet? You're out the window if you tell them that one. I think you have. Yeah, I think you, I remember you telling me about that. We're following the Lord. We're totally following the Lord. What did the Lord tell? He said to Paul, here's what you present him. So we're following the Lord in how we presented this stuff to Paul to preach to us. There was going to come a day when the Jesus teachings... I'm going the wrong direction here. Jesus' teachings will be back down here again to follow. And we will be the enforcers. Maybe. Depending upon your suffering and stuff, right? So from this point of the Gospels to this point where his teachings will be taught, he has said, Paul, teach them this. And that's where we're at. And this movie is going to portray this thing. And people are going to get all caught up in trying to live this here. And it is wrong. Not only is it wrong, if it's wrong, it's, it's four letters. Begins with E. Second letter is V. It's evil. This is actually evil. And I imagine there are some that go, man, now I really want to see it. This is weird. This is evil. Poor little thing's got a bad little wing. Or flipper thing, what do you call those things, you know? You know? Now try to swim, you know? Here's a... I get wild mail. I really do. You guys got to see it when we were gone, maybe. There's article after article in here, and it's all really good stuff, but it's all about... Not up here, no. It's all about six letters. Church. It's all about the church. The church is the issue here. Okay? This is put out by Jack Hyles' place. It's called The Voice. Great big church here. I got to sit right there one time and watch the choir leader fall asleep during one of Hyles' sermons. Right behind him. Half the choir. You know, it was kind of funny. But this, you know what this is all about? This is all about the church. You know? I guess I did need this thing. I think I can still do it. Can I turn it off? It's up here somewhere. It's all about the church. Oh, that's the old one. Where's my new one? Too much stuff on this thing. Never mind. It's about the church. This is from the same place. Pastor School. March 5th. You've been to one. Some of you guys have been to one. This is all about how a pastor can have a what? Church. Well, I mean, you want to get it together. This is where you go. And I've read the stuff about this particular guy that's kind of taken over the church since Dr. Hyles has died, and he's preaching some Pentecostal stuff. Oh, it's amazing the argument that's going on there. Here's one for your children. Jesus helps your children power up. You know, that's the last thing your kids need. I need to put out one that calls Jesus gets your kids to calm down. Really. But anyway, you just read through this thing and this has nothing to do with Jesus and salvation. It's how Jesus... I think Rex preached it, that Jesus was STP. It was the STP guy in life. Just put a little STP and things run smoother. You don't really get to know him or anything. It's just how to get your kids to... Give your kids the most power. It's just power. It's power. It's power. Okay. This one is, this is a Tract magazine, Tract catalog, and I want to begin to talk about those, I guess. I circled one, I have to do this other one first here. I got this in the mail. This is called One Spirit, Resources for the Spirit, Mind, and Body. One of those kind of things. I hope I'm not boring you with this stuff. I went looking through this catalog, and I saw some things that are just amazing here. Here's the power of meditation. It's a music CD. Remember what I've been saying about music? Here's one. Honoring the Medicine of Native Wisdom, the Essential Guide to Native American Healing. A CD, music, as well as teaching stuff. Just bear with me here. Got to read some of these things here. Here's one, Scott Cunningham, Wicca, Living Wicca, The Complete Book of Incense, Oils, and Brews. You know? But they're going after the people. This is all an experience. An experience. Let's see. Experience. They know what people want. They want to know God. And how many have experienced the Lord? I've experienced the Lord. And I usually experience when I'm reading. But there's been times where if I'd have gone through, if I'd not stopped here, if I'd not sneezed and slowed down, I would have gone through the stoplight, another, I would have been through the green light, and a guy went through. Did anybody happen to you? I'd have been killed. I'm suddenly experiencing God. Whoa, he was there for me. You know, I've experienced God in sermons. I've experienced him. I experienced him a whole lot driving through southern Idaho. He was with me through that whole thing. Was he driving? I was driving, okay. If I'm going to experience God, here, you drive. I can't do this. No, he was there, though. Yeah, I mean, we know what experience of God is all about. We fellowship with him. We are one-on-one. Comfort. You know? So anyway, I just circled a couple. Witchcrafting. From the author of Book of Shadows comes the ideal handbook for anyone seeking to unlock the divine power that makes real magic happen. And witchcraft. I know, you probably already know this a long time ago, but it just clicked last night. That thing in Acts talks about people put, the thing in Daniel talks about the Antichrist working through what? Six words, six letters. Begins with C. C-R. C-R-A. Craft. Oh, so you're telling me my crafts are of the devil? No. But he does work through crafts through the Antichrist. Witchcraft. And there's a book that's witchcrafting. Well, I got this marked for some reason. Deepak Chopra, or whatever, you know, Deepak Chopra helps you find your true desire. Well, here it is. Includes melodies of circumstance. It's music. Just a couple more. Titania's Oracle and Titania's Star Tarot. In Titania's Oracle, Hardy? Where have I heard Hardy? Hardy Boys. They look familiar. Cut it out. It's just a little thing. I know it's just a little thing, but now the devil crowd uses Hardy. Hardy breathes new life into an ancient witch's divining tool. Just ask a question, perform one of the several concentration spells, then allow your finger to fall on one of the 13 symbols on Oracle's wheel. I thought a Ouija board was scary, but man, this is really something here. Here's one. Sacred spirit drums, Native American flutes, drums, and sounds of nature merge in a musical representation of a hamanic journey. Hamanic. They get mad at us for preaching the fact that Ham and Shem and Japheth and the New Age and Ham and all this stuff. And here's a CD you can buy that takes the Native American Shem stuff and merges it with hammock, and it says have a hamanic journey. Here's one called the Witch Book. 560 entries that explore every aspect of the craft. See, there's your craft, from A to Z. The Art of Happiness. A great purpose of our life is to seek happiness. Says there, I think I'm almost done, hang on. Got to show you something that's really amazing. Here's one. Wicca for Life, written by the leading U.S. authority on Wicca. Well, that's good. This comprehensive book is designed to guide the modern witch through every season and aspect of life. Well, yeah, that's the world. Of course they're going to do that sort of a thing. You can expect that, right? Spirit, mind, and body, we're supposed to love the Lord with... Lord of the Rings, I forgot where it's at. I circled it somewhere. Lord of the Rings is in here somewhere. Ever heard the Lord of the Rings? That's a big hit. That's a big hit among Christians. Come on, where do you see that thing? If I can't show you, you won't believe me, but I can't show you because I can't. It's in here, okay? Mystic harp. living well on a shoestring. There's a bunch of stuff on birthdays. I think that thing in Ecclesiastes is really true. But anyway, happy birthday anyway, patience. Come on, Lord of the Rings, I know you're in here. A whole bunch of diet stuff. That proves to me that all stuff's of the devil, so I'm going to go out. You know, reflexology about doing the feet. Well, they can't argue, they can't win that one over me. They still like it being done, but oh well. Beck bought me another thing for Christmas. How did he? Here we go. Declutter your home. That's all the devil. Okay, stay in a mess. Okay. Hang in there, folks. I thought, I'm not seeing it now. Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings. Come on, you're in here somewhere. J.R. Tolkien. That's Lord of the Rings. Yeah, there you go. J.R. Tolkien. We've got some other books, too. Okay, here's the bottom. Okay? Why are you showing us that? Because here's a track catalog for Christians. You know what's in here? Lord of the Rings. That's what's going on. Everybody is seeking something. In fact, in this movie, and I saw it in one of those somewhere, that anybody that's looking for this stuff, they call them a seeker. So now you're either a believer or you're a seeker. You know? Are you a seeker? I didn't even open this one, but it's all about self-esteem stuff. The anger control workbook. You know? The handbook of assessment and treating and treatment planning for psychological disorders. There's Christians that need to study this stuff. I mean, they study this stuff. It's all right here. Now, what are you getting at? This has been a long yap session. Let me show you something. Go to Ezekiel chapter 8. Then we'll be done. I said nothing was... Oh, hi. I said I had a whole bunch of stuff. I just didn't know what to do. I didn't know who was going to come this morning, who was going to make it in the snow. I'm who's going to make it tonight. I really didn't mean to make a big thing about this cute little fish. But over the night, it just shows what's going on in churches. And what I was going to show you up here was, remember, this right column is the church, and the next one is the Bible. The Bible believers and then the church. And we're looking at, we'll do some more of that tonight for sure. We're looking at the emphasis. If you just stay in the Bible, you mess up the church thing. If you just stay on the church side, mess up the book thing. Most everybody's on the church side. And the Bible believers are starting to emphasize church. Well, a lot of the Bible believers could care less about church. And see, my point is, that's wrong. As we have a void of church in our life, and the actual reality of a gathering like we have right here, when our kids get out into the world, they will offer them that local church thing, but it won't be nothing like this one. It'll be like all this other stuff. And it'll be exciting. They'll experience it. And they'll think that they're being fed properly. And what is the first thing he says about that evil communication thing? Be not what? Deceived. So here we are, Bible believers. King James Bible believers. You write your checks and you pay for the bills and you go to the fairs and you do stuff and you give out tracts and you know how to rightly divide your Bible, and you know that God's showing us that we need to look at our church as a family. It's just we know we've been down that lane. We're going to talk about that, but yet we can see what's going on out there if you just somehow let God show you. Like I said, this wasn't a prepared sermon, but can you see what's going on? The world out there is being deceived. And we've always known that. But I don't think we've known it in such detail. We just see what's coming. You know, that little fish, cute. This thing here, horribly dangerous. Horribly deceptive. It supports everything that your friends and your fellow workers and fellow truck riders and fellow poison dippers and the all those guys that you work with, the forestry guys, all these people, they're going to fall for this thing. You would just something fierce. I just believe they are. And as I said Wednesday, which most of you missed, God cannot show your friends, your family, your workers, your neighbors, your anybody, even the lady at the clerk at the store, cannot hear about this except through y'all. Just us's right here. There might be a few other people in Walla Walla, but I doubt it, because from what I've understood, they just don't deal with this stuff. And what's going on? Ezekiel chapter 8. And then we'll get out of here. Verse 16. Old Testament. But we're supposed to learn from this, right? And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east. And they worshiped the sun toward the east. And that's an awful thing. That's an abomination to the Lord. Read the whole context. That's a serious abomination that's taking place. Look at Isaiah chapter 2, just over to the left about a half an inch. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 6, you've heard me talk about this with music. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east. And their soothsayers like the Philistines. And they please themselves and the children of strangers. Now keep reading. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is full of pickups, trucks, four-wheelers. I can't say that yet. I say the land is full of women. Neither is there any end of their pickups, trucks, and stuff. I won't say that. Just full of horses. Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. Na, 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 na. America does it all, you know, market stuff. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself, therefore forgive them not. Blah, 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 blah. You know what? And when Bible versions came out, when Ripinger's book on New Age Bible versions came out, you know what that proved? That all these new Bibles are getting Eastern philosophy in them. So we know that. We've known that for years. And we see all this stuff, this whole search for an experience, is actually these guys, the spirit crowd. So a Bible-believing person today, if you're not careful, you can be turned to the East. Eastern thinking. Eastern thinking is works. And the One. And the Christ. That's an Eastern terminology. And all this stuff has to do with doing right and doing good. And sacrificing with Jesus. Experience His sacrifice. Experience what He's done for you so you can also know that you have suffered. And nobody tells anybody about the truth of their salvation, about faith in Christ, gets you the faith of Christ. This is an amazing thing, what's going on. And I'm just amazed at what God's telling us here. This little place. And I'm not knocking us, but y'all know who we are. We're nothing. We don't have $50 million. We don't have a way to reach the whole world and all this kind of stuff. We're just here. Just this little place right here. Might not even be in here forever. Who knows what's going to happen? Some of you folks are going to die. Some of you are going to probably move. I mean, who knows what God's going to have here? Some of you teenagers are probably going to just fly the coop or get excited. Maybe even someday you might even just find a man. That's an amazing thing. But what He has shown us is we will have no excuse at our judgment seat. He's given us an opportunity to know the deception that's going on in the churches out there. And do we have it all together here? Not at all. But that's because we understand our battle with the flesh. Romans chapter 7. We know what's going on with us. Amen. So, I don't know. I'm telling you, he's showing us a lot of stuff. Do we need to get depressed about it and scared and all that stuff? No, we just need to live like he's given us through the crucified life and what? The risen life. We should be thrilled that he's trusted us with this book like he's trusted us with it. I know too many Bible-believing King James churches that are now getting bigger, bigger and bigger. But I know that the only reason they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger is because they're looking at this thing less and less and less. It's the only way they're going to grow these days. I just pray, Lord, I know there's people in this town that have their preconceived, their minds made up about never coming here. Never wanted to talk to you folks or your family. They're just not interested. They don't want to hear it. There's times we've done it wrong. There's times we've done it right. There's times we didn't know the answer. And so because we didn't know the answer, according to them, that's all they needed. Even though we had 9 other answers, because they didn't have that one, they said, okay, then I don't believe you. And you work with people every day, and you see people every day. You visit with your family. We just need to be ready for when the subject comes up. Or if God just opens that door just a little bit. Just a little crack. You know what to do. Get that hand in there. And just after a while, you know, you got a way to talk to somebody. We'll finish up with this. But you know what I think my biggest concern here? We're looking at the Bible, right? We're looking at the church, right? You know what the next institution that God designed that follows the Bible and the church? It's a family. That's where reality is here. There's people out there, there's people out there, there's people next door. But you know what? There's people right there. Our little kids, bigger kids. I didn't mean to say little kid pointing the tire. You know, there's kids. There's people right here. It's called a family. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 sets of grandparents in here. We've got a lot of dads and moms and all that stuff. We've got what they call, we got families in here. Todd's not ready to graduate yet. Danny's not ready to go. Patience, any day. Any day. What can we do with the time that we have left? We cannot be deceived. If you know what I enjoy about learning about this stuff? I enjoy the fact that I got this thing pegged. I'm not saying that pridefully. I'm just saying I got that thing figured out. I wish somebody would ask me about it. You know? I got that thing figured out. I even got this little critter figured out. Wish I was a parent again. But I'm not. Wish I was a parent again. What'd you go to? Well, we went to Bed Knobs and Broomsticks. Sound of Music. Catholic. You know? What'd you go to? What'd we all go to when we were little? Must have been some evil in there somewhere, because look at where we are today. You know what? We've been duped already. And some of us as parents have to kind of realize that, you know, we can't turn some of this stuff around now because it's already ingrained in our children and our grandchildren. It's just there. Oh, but are you dead yet? Not yet. Then that means there's still time. We can still make some decisions, dads. We can still make some decisions. Let's not be deceived. Ladies, you're counting on your husband not to be deceived. Okay? Let him make a decision. What if it's wrong? Make something. You know what we need to do? We need to, and we're done. I'm sorry. I'm a heart here this morning. I hate that phrase, too. You know what we need to do, men? Fathers, husbands, if you haven't got a husband or father, and ladies, you need to do this. you need to draw a line. Because something's happening. We're being deceived. We're being tricked. Our children are being poisoned. We're being poisoned. If we weren't being poisoned, this thing wouldn't be so obvious. They couldn't have put this thing out 10 years ago. I don't think they could have done that a while ago. But the churches are all ready for it now. They've had ecumenicalism for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. They've got the Gospels all been put in there now. Everybody follows the Gospels. Everybody follows the Great Commission, which I'll preach on maybe next week. The weather's good. I want everybody to hear that one. The churches have been taught about the book of Acts. Everybody just believes all that stuff. And then they come along with the world's greatest outreach ever. And it's all there just waiting to wrap it up. And I don't want to be there. And I don't want to have any of y'all be there. And I really don't want your kids to fall for this thing. This has got people so entrapped that even the Bible-believing people are now teaching about the rapture not even coming until all this stuff hits. You know, mid-trib, post-trib. All that's there. All that teaching does is teaches the need of the church. No, I need the book. And the book tells me the Lord's going to come before it hits the fan. But I'd hate to think that some of you folks have missed it. Just because you've been tricked. And I'll end with this. If anybody in here is tricked or deceived over this stuff in the next couple of years, whatever, I think it'll be on the shoulders of us dads. You ladies know you're deceivable. You're trickable. That's the way it's designed. I mean, that's just where you're at. God's given you a role to do, and it's an absolute beautiful role. I don't know how you can be tricked in having children. Well, I know how you can be tricked in having children. But that's not a deceiving thing. The deceiving thing is that you don't need... Yeah. The deceiving thing is that you get into our curse. But the whole thing falls down on us guys. For our kids right there. But if you haven't got a guy to make that decision, then just pray really hard. And it's hard stuff. Because... The devil's already got the man out of the house. That's the strong man in Luke. He's gone. Amen. There's four or five times that would come here if the man would ever get any have an operation. You know, get back here. Ladies, you already been had. You know that the world, feminist thing and all that. Devil's already got that taken care of. What you got left? All he's got left is the kids. How's he gonna get the kids? I'll tell you what, Nemo's pretty mild compared to Harry Potter. You wouldn't take your kids to Harry Potter. You wouldn't take your kids to Harry Potter. Well, devil knows that. So he sends you Harry Nemo. Catches you there. You know? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? To know where we are in the time plan? I think that'd be great if we never had to watch Tyler graduate. Not because we kill him, I mean just because the Lord comes. I think it'd be neat if we never have to see patients get married. We probably never will have to see that either, you know. You know? Or Danny. Let's just go. You know, let's just go. Amen. We'll stand. We'll dismiss. Come back tonight if the weather's good enough. We'll look at some details tonight again about the church and the Bible. Do some things here. See, my seed was planted a long time ago, and I got all those cereal boxes. It's free. Father, we thank you so much again for this time this morning. I thank you, Lord, for what you've shown us. And Lord, I know that just because of my own life and my laziness and flesh battles, Lord, that this morning, we went into this thing here this morning, Lord, but just whatever you would have us hear. And Lord, you taught us not to be deceived. Remind us not to be deceived. I know, Lord, we are being deceived still. And I know, Lord, that we glory in the wrong things too often. And I know, Lord, that we all need to draw a line. Now, Lord, I know that we need to draw a line tighter and closer according to that book. I know, Lord, that this morning, as we've learned these last few days, that it's the work of the Holy Spirit, not my work, and not my efforts, and not my words, and not even my heart. I can't make these things take place. And I can be just as guilty as anybody else. But I thank you, Lord, that with all this deception going into churches, that we were able to see that. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. We're not ignorant to that angel of light that is, that his ministers of righteousness are deceiving and tricking people. My fear, Lord, is our teenagers and our young folks here would be deceived by this stuff. And I know, Lord, that we haven't portrayed that good Christian walk all the time within our homes. And some of us parents have not set the good example like we could have and should have. But it would be great, Lord, if you would convict our hearts to take that marker and draw that line tighter and closer. Help us, Lord, learn this book, not just in our brains, but in our hearts. And then, Lord, as we're going to pray this year, we pray, Lord, that you would use us, everybody in this room, the ladies, the men, even our kids, when it comes to being a witness and bringing maybe grandpa to church or grandma to church or our neighbor workers or just our friends or just our family, some of our relatives, Lord, that visit here on occasion. Lord, help us not only with the Bible, but just with our testimony and how we say no to things, that would be a testimony to some other people to know that there's something deceiving going on in their churches. It's an amazing thing to me, Lord, to think that a Baptist church would have in that Alpha program. It's amazing to me, Lord, in so many ways that this movie, The Passion, is going to be such a hit, and it's being portrayed so everywhere. It's just an influx in the entire country. And Lord, if you would have us do anything to counteract that, then you would provide the finances to do it. You would give us the design, the ideas, the thoughts. And if nothing else, Lord, help us all learn how to talk about these things with our friends and our family. Help us forget the things that we've done wrong, Lord, and help us serve you closer and better. And then, Lord, through this all, I pray that you would just bless everybody here this morning, all this week. And I pray, Lord, that all of us will have closer fellowship to you, more fellowship with you, and just be willing to set the world aside and spend some close time with you. And you would show us these things. It's a marvelous thing that you've trusted us. And help us, Lord, fulfill what it is that you would have us do down here still. I pray that you would take care of our family, all the people that are away from here. Lord, for those folks that just chose not to come in rebellion, help us, Lord, somehow show them the truth. And just help us reach our friends and our family. Just help us learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Marilyn comes home this Saturday, by the way, in Portland. She'll be in. Who wants to go get her? Anybody?
How do you spell that?
M-E-M-O.
Well, if you change those letters around, it's emo. Disney put it up, put a D in there, demon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, demon. Demon, yeah.
Gail Rippling. Said that all the. And Disney's real famous for that. That subliminal message backwards. Subliminal stuff, you know, yeah. And that's what their uses, too.
There's a couple more that
I've never seen it.
There's a couple more I know that are in there, but I don't know what they mean, but I know they mean something different. I just don't know. I know it means something different.
Latin emo means nothing.
Means what?
Nothing.
Well, that's really, is it really? That's all they can do, barely get off the ground. Look at all the kids flocking up to play with Nemo. Oh, Virginia's still here? Yep.
Can I
Those things are always. Put that back in the scrubber.
Thank you.
How you doing?
All right.
Everything free? The big article in the paper this morning about somebody that's going organic cow farming type stuff. You guys going to just expand? But expand.
We just don't advertise.
Expand. Well, yeah. Just expand.
What they do is they just
do what they're doing.
Hay and grass.
Excuse me.
Marketing. That's what it is. Marketing.
Oh,
sorry. This is the very end.
No,
then I can then I can take that off. Yeah. I can figure out a way.